Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Chipper is here. Wolves and Wild, the conversation. Since the Wolves won and the Wild lost, we will start with the Wolves. Hello, my friend. When you win by 22, when Luka gets 16 in the first quarter, and when you outscore an opponent by 30-plus over a long stretch of the second and third quarter, there is a lot to be impressed by. For Chip Scoggins, give me the one or two aspects of the Wolves' decisive win that impressed you the most.
I think I would put Anthony Edwards' maturity at the top of it. We knew going into the series that the Lakers are going to try to throw different looks at him and different coverages and try to force him into bad shots or turnovers or, being maybe indecisive. And I thought he just played a smart floor game. 9 assists, 1 turnover, didn't really force maybe one or two shots. I mean, he took 22, but they all felt like, for the most part, they came into flow. I thought just the way he played. And obviously, Jaden McDaniels, if he can continue to get to the rim like that and knock down some three-pointers like he did, they're going to be hard to beat. He was 11 of 13 shooting the ball, with 9 rebounds. He was just incredible. And I said going into the series, I thought that Naz Reid was the X factor because his shot had been so inconsistent coming down the stretch of the regular season. And if they could get him back to being Naz and having that, that scoring punch off the bench and that outside shooting, that they would be just so much more dynamic and harder to defend. And we saw that. So I would venture to guess that game plan is about as well as Chris Finch could have hoped it had gone. I mean, between Ant and Randall, they got 14 assists. Now, Randall had too many turnovers, but 14 assists between those two, Chad, that shows you they were moving the ball and it wasn't stagnant.
All great points. Let me react. Ant, again, he's normally going to shoot better than 8 of 22, but, if he shoots 11 of 22, he's at 50%. That's better than he normally shoots. So, I mean, I saw some people he struggled mightily. He didn't struggle mightily from the field. His decision-making was tremendous. I would rather have Anthony Edwards score 22 to 24 points. Let's just say 22. If he told me he could go 27 points, that's about his average, and then around 5 assists and 5 rebounds, or 22 and the 9 board, 8 assists, or I forget, was it 9 assists, 8 boards?
Yeah, 9 assists, 8 boards.
I'll take that every time. And he missed some time because, it's now become almost an every fourth game situation with Ant. Something happens. He goes to the locker room. You think he's dead, and he comes back, and he's fine. It's a part of the thing. So I loved how intelligent and tempered he was with the game. Jaden, you're right. I tweeted it out. That was Jaden's best game of his life. It just was. He's going back and forth with LeBron and Luka, and he's going inside, and he's hitting outside shots, and just looked like for the whole way he belonged. Naz was better last year than he was this year. He just was. He had the one stretch where Rudy was out with the back ailment where he was really good. But outside of that, he was really inconsistent, and he was out there. Couple other things I just loved. I just loved how confident I thought they were the entire time.
Yeah.
I ended up picking them in 6. I just think they're a little bit better. I really do. I think they're just a little bit better. I don't love this matchup, but man, the Lakers have issues outside of those three guys. They just do. And you had the feeling if you're watching the first quarter, Chipper, and you know the scoreboard, you're like, They down 15. Yeah. They down 18. What are they down? And all of a sudden you're looking in the corner going, they're down 7. And they did nothing. I thought Rudy was dreadful in the first quarter. I could not believe how timid he was. I mean, I was like, what is going on? And then here's another thing you have to so appreciate this team. When they have Rudy out there, are they traditionally a very good defensive team and they slow it down and they do a lot of that pound ball, right, with Randall?
Mm-hmm.
Then they get those other three coming off the bench. And Finch was pushing it a lot early, and somewhere in the middle of the season, it took hold. They can play fast. And I love when they play fast. They had 25 fast break points, and they were the Lakers are a plodding team, and they were blowing by him on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think a lot of that started with their defense, but it really started with I think Finch went with a lineup to start that second that we haven't seen a lot. Or
12 minutes.
Maybe a little unusual. Yeah, he went along the front line. He went Randall, Naz Reid, and McDaniels.
Yep.
And then it was Nikhil and Mike Conley.
Yeah.
And that group sped up the tempo. That they play with more pace. They play with more ball movement. And that's when it started to change. But you're right. I mean, if you just go through it, they outscored them 43-13 off the bench, which is – they should have a decisive advantage there every year, every game, because Lakers just – they don't have the depth. They have two guys, right? And Reeves is a nice complimentary player, but he didn't do much. And then the fast break points.
Yep.
I mean, they got out in transition like we haven't really seen. So that's why I'm saying I think if you're the if you're Lakers, you're kind of searching here like, okay, what's going to be the approach in game two? And I think if you're finching him, obviously you're going to make adjustments. But I think when the Lakers go small, you know Jaden McDaniels can get to the rim. There's going to be no rim protection in there. And so
everybody should go to the rim. They got nobody. They got nobody. And that's why knowing, when they're playing Jackson Hayes should be about the 13th guy on a playoff team. He's borderline NBA player. So when you know you can get the inside, and then I know JJ was kind of like, hinting, they're not going to make all those shots, right? Three-point shots. And he's right. You're normally not going to shoot 21 of 42. 27 of those, Chipper, were declared wide open. That means nobody's within 6 feet. You have multiple guys who can make threes. Clearly, Ant's the leader of that. But when you give them 27 open threes, which shows the ball movement, shows the threat of going inside, if they get those, they're going to make 50% of those at minimum. I mean,
I would say this. Dante and Nikhil were combined 2 of 11. They're not going to shoot that poorly.
Nope.
It wasn't like these were contested threes. You're right. It was the Lakers' inability to keep guys in front of them, and it was drive the gaps and kick for wide open threes. And so that was the ball movement. That was their inability to contain their drives. And so, you know, it might not be 50%, but it could be high, 42%, 44%. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think – like Dante was 1 of 5. He's going to shoot better than that from three. So –
And I still felt like he played good and brought an element to him.
For sure. Yeah, with the pace and the ball movement.
Yep.
I look at these two teams, and I know Lakers have two of the all-time greats.
Yep.
But I just think the Wolves have more ways to win and more ways to score.
By far.
A lot more than the Lakers do, and so that's to their advantage.
They have more ways to play defense. They just have more options, I heard Alan Horton, the end of the broadcast, and Alan does just a great job, and he had a great stat, too, about Finch. Last 4 years, okay, from March 1st on, only the Celtics have a better record than the Wolves. So it talks about, and I'm guilty of it, there are times I'm looking at Finch even early in the year when he wasn't playing the young guys. I'm like, what's going on? Or first year, Rudy and Cat, it's not working out. But he gets a lot of buy-in late in the year. When 4 straight years you have the second-best record, and they're playing real – I mean, there were some inexplicable moments. That's the stupidity of what happened in Milwaukee and some other games.
Yeah.
But the last 22 games are 18-4. That's a long stretch of 18-4. And before we pause, I'll just mention the big two for the Lakers. And clearly, Luka was ready to go early. They had 4 assists combined. LeBron had 3 assists. Luke had 1. And I picked the Wolves so I can separate my shoulder, pat myself on the back off 1 game. But then I also said LeBron's going to be the better player in the series for the Lakers and Luka. Man, no. LeBron looks very mortal and, I got to say, even a little bit old. Now, I don't know. There were some silly reports on injury. I say silly because LeBron is such a drama queen on injuries that I never really know, but he did not look good.
Well, he had more turnovers than assists.
Yeah.
Which that tells you, and he didn't, I mean, he didn't, early on, he wasn't that active offensively. I don't think he scored for, you know, till, you know, late in the first, but yeah, he did not look like the LeBron that you thought you were going to see. Now, Luka, obviously, Luka's going to score his points. I mean, you just live with that. He's going to make difficult shots. I mean, there's, you know, you just try to make it as difficult as you can, but I just, you look at that lineup, it's like, where's the scoring going to come from other than him? And they did a really nice job on Austin Reeves. I mean, he finished with 16 and just really was a non-factor.
And listen, the fouls were bizarre, okay? The fact that the Lakers picked up their first foul with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter, I mean, I know there's going to be disparity, and there was some complaining, but it was an obsession, and that's what they can't do. All right, let's pause. Yep. Let's talk about the Wild. And my preview is I feel like I've watched this game over. And over and over and over again for 11 years. When they make the playoffs, 11 straight years. But how many times are we giving these storylines after a Wild playoff game? Back with the great Chip Scoggins in moments on CCO. Okay, now to the Wild. Now, I had Billy Guerin on his regular appearance last week. He grew very testy with me when I asked him if his team wins, is it an upset? He's like, oh, you media guys. I go, I know what you meant. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm not. I mean,
you're all the same.
You're all the same. That's he's going with you're all the same. You know, yes. Considering the legitimate injuries the Wild have faced, the Golden Knights probably have what 20, 22, some more points than the Wild the last 4 months of the season. Now healthy, so they're very fortunate. And it was I thought it was a very entertaining game. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
but. I'm sorry, I felt like here we go again. That, yes, what was different is one of their stars stepped up and scored two goals. And Boldy was, man, he was a stud last night. He was really good. But in a game, I need to face some serious insomnia, and I'm going to look back the last 11 years where the Wild have made the playoffs, 11 straight years. Chipper, how many games does this feel like where they scored three goals? It just feels like it's one, two goals every game. Where they play well, they're in it, where they get momentum, and then there's like a back-breaking goal. And when they went down 3-1, and yes, they had chances late, it just seemed like you're climbing Mount Everest. And that the goaltender makes enough stops, and they can't quite score enough. And I know all series in the playoffs are almost always close and lower scoring, and you feel better than if you were blown out, but I just felt like, you know, they got the stud line, and then after that, you're really searching for high skill level in the next three lines. It's just a fact.
Can I have $5 for every playoff column I've written talking about scoring chances?
Yes.
that they gave themselves, but they just couldn't convert? I mean, it's a tale as old as time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every year that's what I write, and you're right. It's like, yes, you created scoring chances, and that's good, but you didn't convert them. And the Knights are a good team. I mean, they
star.
I mean,
they can win it.
You know,
they're a team with continuity, too. It feels like we've been watching this core Vegas group forever.
Well, and you know, this core has won a Stanley Cup before, and you saw it. As soon as they got a power play, bam, score a goal.
Yep.
And, like, that's the difference. Like the Wild had their power play and, you know, just kind of did nothing with it. I thought Gus was okay. I thought he made some really good saves. I don't know enough about goaltending. The third one off the rush, could he have gotten that one? I mean, the defenseman, Bergosian, was flat-footed.
Yeah.
I mean, put more blame on him. But does your goalie have to make that save? I don't know. But you're right.
It's a hard one. But if you're going to win, right, you're going to and that team has played better than you by a noticeable amount for four games. And it is an upset. You have to have the better goaltender, clear-cut.
Yeah. But you got to score more than two goals, right?
Yeah.
And they need more than that top line. To contribute. Now, I thought Ryan Hartman was really good.
I did too.
like that Hines moved him up and gave him a more prominent role because he was playing well. But, yeah, you're going to need more than two goals. You're going to need more than that top line contributing. And like I said, it wasn't a bad performance.
No.
I mean, they did some nice things. They generated chances. I didn't think they looked overmatched by any stretch. It's just you got to convert some of these. So I could see it going six games. I thought early on, it's like, I think Vegas is just, I say going into the series, I just thought Vegas was a lot better team. But last night, you know, made me think it might be a little bit longer series than I originally expected.
Hartman, since he came back from his latest nonsense, has been very good. He's played well. He hasn't acted like a dope. And, you know, there were multiple points last night where you're like, wow, they could have got a call. They could have got a call.
Yeah, the cross check.
And the cross check. I was watching ESPN feed and they were trying to defend it. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's just a brutal cross check. It's just brutal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I get the dilemma they have when they put those three players out there because last year, the last, 20, 25 games when they put that line together, it was the best line in hockey. That's when you need like a couple other guys, and Rossi's kind of vanished here of late.
They need Rossi to step forward here.
Zeev, first of all, I can't imagine what that's like when your first game is in the playoffs. And by the way, is this the only sport where you can do it? How many times do we talk about in these other sports where you got to play a certain amount of games before your first game is in the playoffs? It kind of seems counter to me. That you don't have to play any games in the playoffs. I don't. You know, he had a couple moments where. What's he doing? He had one or two other moments where I don't really blame him on the empty net situation. You know, you're trying. You're going to Boldy. Yeah. There's five guys. It's crowded out there in 6 and 5. Yeah. I'll just be very curious how much better he looks, and also how much better he'd look if he was had Faber or Spurgeon on his right side.
Yeah.
Because Bogosian is just, he's a guy,
yeah. And that's, I think there were a couple times where I'm guessing the speed of the game probably not surprising, but I'm thinking about the pass to Boldy where, you know, frozen four, he probably gets away with making that pass, but, NHL playoffs, these guys are, you know, in the intensity and everything, I'm sure it was, I can't even imagine like how fast he thought that game was happening last night.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's your first NHL experience. You're playing, you know, on the road in that environment. So I thought he did fine. I mean, there was nothing, just super egregious where like, oh boy, this is too much for him. There was no moment like that. But I think probably I have to imagine this next game as he gets more experience and just used to the speed and intensity, we'll see him. See a little bit more of that playmaking that we've heard so much about.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say, and maybe it's not fair, I just think back to like the first two games that Faber played. I'm like, geez, this guy. I mean, it looks like there's been no transition from the Gophers. And again, it's different circumstance. So let's talk about how vital tomorrow is, and we can even tie it back to the Wolves because you think about the Wolves last year when they played Denver, they win the first two. At home, that second game was that clinical defensive performance. And a lot of people are like, okay, this series is over. Well, then Denver won the next three, and then the Wolves won the next two. And home court in the NBA matters a little bit more than home ice does in the NHL. I just think to believe that the Wild all of a sudden are going to win four of their next five if they don't win tomorrow night against a team that clearly has been better the last 4 months. I'm not buying that. They better win that game tomorrow night if they're gonna pull off this upset and win.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that your intensity is going to have to ramp up. You're going to have to find some secondary skill, and you don't want to fall 0-2 to this team, right? That has a championship pedigree, and so I think they're going to be desperate. And I'm flip it to the Wolves side. I'm curious to see the Lakers' response.
Yep,
because I'm sure they've heard for 2 days. How bad they looked, how now, their bench, they don't have it, how they're, all these negative things that are being thrown at them. So I'm curious to see LeBron and Luka's response and kind of what, I'm curious to see what kind of adjustments we see from JJ and how they how they try to limit all the different scoring options that the Wolves hit them with in their bench. I don't know that they can.
No.
If they're just making them not shooting as well, then I'm not sure that's the plan either.
Yeah, I don't think James Worthy, Kareem, and Magic are coming off the bench.
No.
No,
they're not coming through the door.
I would think they're going to emphasize LeBron earlier, and they're going to try to get Luka to get other people involved offensively. But you're right. Defensively, you can't be giving up the inside stuff and 27 wide-open shots. And here's how much we should talk about the Twins today. We got to go. We got to go. That's how much we should talk about them, because that was the front.
Not good.
Griffin Jacks, what?
I mean, what's going on?
I mean, their best player by miles last year. Right now, he's a early Emilio Pagan for the Twins. That's a major, major problem. All right, my friend, enjoy the day. We'll talk soon.
Sorry, bro.
Chip Scoggin, Star Tribune, with us every Monday. Lucky to have him. Colonel David Hunt on this show for, I don't know, a couple decades at least. He is brilliant on the military, served our country for 30 years. Pete Hegseth, is he on the way out after we find out more of the same? Dave, I feel bad I wasn't on the Signal app with Pete Hegseth. Have you been on the Signal app?
Yes, actually.
Good to know.
There's a third one we're going to learn out. It's coming out soon. A doozy, though, let me tell you. Chat was gold.
Exactly. You know what's gold? When you leave Stretch Lab. Maybe it's the one by the lakes. Maybe it's the one in Chanhassen. Maybe it's the one in Edina. Maybe it's Plymouth. Maybe it's Maple Grove. They have 11 total. Maybe you're in there for the first time, and they assess you. They work with you. They get a trained specialist who had weeks and weeks of training, works with you, and you're better. Well, you're the better because you're a walker. You like to walk around the lakes. You play tennis. You're a shot putter. You know, do we have enough shot putters?
Recreational shot putters?
Yeah, recreational
shot. Just head out on a Saturday. I'm just going to put some shot.
Yeah, put that shot out there. You play golf, you want to feel better, whatever it might be. Maybe an injury at home. God knows how you injured yourself. If you did, congratulations. But Stretch Lab can help you out any way that you believe you can be helped out with smart people who will make you feel better with that mobility, with that flexibility. It is the key to whether you're 20 or 80. 11 locations, half off your first visit. I repeat, half off your first visit. StretchLab.com.